So Malachim Beis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Tes Vav. So we've been discussing how the body of Elisha is now separating. Sorry, not Elisha, of Elio is separating from him, from his neshama, but he was able to go up to bring his body up to Shamayim. I think you're the one who asked, right? What happened to his body? So the Malbim actually says, we're going to get to it a little bit later. But the Malbim actually says that he was able to take his body up to Shemayim with him. Right? I don't know exactly where he put it. He has the special chamber. You know, that's like the body of Eliyahu Hanavi. Anytime he wants, he goes over to the chamber. You know, puts on the body. All right, let's go down to Earth and then talk to the people. I'm saying the Gemara itself talks about how Eliyahu Hanavi was able to appear to different tonight. Right? It's not, sorry?
He's saying the body, what up with them now?
Right.
What is a body?
What is a body?
Yeah. A body, what is a body?
Right. You got flesh and bones.
You got veins, you got this, you got that. Did he take a body like that?
Yeah,
up with
that's,
him?
What, that's what it sounds like.
Or was just a shell that he could use that appeared like a body because he really didn't need it anymore. You hear what I'm asking you?
That's a good question. You're asking, was it the actual body that he had when he was alive?
Well, I think if it's an actual same body, that means he'd have to eat to keep it going. If it's the same body that we have now. But if it's only a shell, just to look like that there, then he's only the shaman now. He doesn't have to eat.
Right. Well I'm saying we found, that Bederech Neis, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to keep his body alive for 40 days and 40 nights when he was up receiving the Torah on Har Sinai. Right? It says that he didn't eat and he didn't drink for 40 days and 40 nights. Right? If any one of us would not eat or drink for 40 days, you wouldn't, our body wouldn't survive. Right?
So we have
found before that, the body went up to Shemayim and somehow miraculously it did survive.
Okay, I don't know, you just answered my question.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't think of that. That's like Moshe Rabbeinu was up there and he wasn't dead yet.
He wasn't dead, no.
He still didn't have to eat.
Right. It says, though, that he did feel hunger. He was hungry and he was thirsty, even though he was in Shemayim. So the sensation of hunger and thirst he did feel, but it didn't kill him. Right from there, just as a side point, but that's where we learn from that a person is supposed to give up. The Torah is only acquired by someone who gives up his life and soul for Torah. You have to suffer for Torah, right? It doesn't just come easy. Torah is one of the three things that are bought with.
It just seems like the body ceases to be a body when it was up there.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a body like it was on the ground, because he didn't have to eat. His shama, the neshama kept him alive. It seems that the neshama fed the parts of the body that have to have food, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't eat and he survived, so what kept him alive?
Well, the neshama can give the body physical sustenance.
It's not physical.
Right.
The body doesn't need physical if he has the other.
The body can't live on spiritual sustenance.
Huh?
The body is flesh. Right? It can't live on spiritual sustenance. If I said, you know what? I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink, all I'm going to do all day is learn Torah. Right? What's going to happen to my body? It's going to die.
You're going to kick the bucket.
Right? I can give my body spiritual sustenance all I want.
That's only when he's down here. But if he was up there, it's not the same as being down here. Mm-hmm. Oh, it just seems up there, next to the Rosh Hashanah, his body doesn't look, it doesn't eat the same things that it does down here to survive, I guess.
Try it.
Right.
What else can you...
Yeah, must have been Bedarach Neis. Thank you, Richard, for the light, by the way. Must be Bedarach Neis, that somehow the body was able... Moshe Rabbeinu's body for sure. We know that it stayed up, you know, in the heavens for 40 days and 40 nights. And was able to stay alive. Must have been an ace. There's no other explanation.
Well, how does a robot live? Doesn't
a robot,
have to eat,
right.
Have nothing else. You
can, right.
Well, how? Electricity.
Right.
Okay, next pasuk.
Next pasuk.
Okay. I agree. So, Moshe had electricity from the Hashem to keep him going, just
possibly.
Like a robot does.
Right. Yeah, I hear. Could be. Okay, let's see pasuk as well. Vayru bnei anavim, Hashem yirichoi, mineged. So bnei anavim are now they're watching Elisha, as Elisha is taking the aderas of Eliyahu, the cloak of Eliyahu, and he's splitting the sea. Splitting the Nahara Yardin, the Jordan River, and it splits open, and he walks through. Right, again, we spoke about last time how that symbolizes how Eliyahu was separating from the water element of his body, which is more earth-like. That's why he was able to go up to the heavens. And so when they see this, we're Nachum Rachel Yol Elisha. They say, oh, that's a clear sign that now Elisha has the same ruach as Eliyahu did. So now the Bnei Anavim come towards Elisha, and they bow down to him. Because that was a clear sign that he in fact has the same power, same ability, same level of nevuah as Eliyahu does. Public design. Vayomer Elov. Hine no yesh asav lecha chamishim anoshim bnei chayil. Right? These, you have over here 50 anoshim, 50 nevim. Bnei chayil. Yelchu no veivakshu sadinecha pen nesoi ruach Hashem. Veyashlichehu beach da'orim beach zaga'oyos. Vayomer Elov gishtachu. So these 50 nevim come towards Elisha and they propose, let's start a search party for the body of Eliyahu. Right, let's search for him. Maybe his body somehow went up with the wind, and the wind carried it somewhere, and it's left on one of the mountains or one of the valleys.
That means that's after his neshama left.
Yeah, after his neshama left. Right. Yeah. So they meaning why do they think that his body left? Just like his neshama did. Because they saw his cloak.
What do they want to do? Find him and bury him?
Yeah. They didn't know what happened to his body.
I understand. But why would they go looking for
him? Yeah, bury him.
Okay. Otherwise,
they were lonely.
No sense.
Yeah.
So, okay.
He wanted to bury him, yes. So they thought that just like the cloak fell off Eliyahu, so too his body also separated from him, and it was left behind. Just like the cloak was left behind. Because again, the cloak is a muscle to the body. The body is some kind of a shell or a sleeve of sorts to the neshama. And in this world, the neshama coexists with the body, which is flesh and bones. But they realized that Eliyahu separated from his body, but while remaining alive. And they wanted to see. They thought that just like when a person chas v'shalom dies, his body just separates from his neshama. Just like a person walks into a room, takes off a heavy cloak, a heavy coat of physicality. Right? Imagine it's a snowy day, like it was today or yesterday, and a person walks in with a heavy coat and he takes it off. Right? And then he emerges. So too, when a person dies, he separates from his body and he emerges. It's not this. People think, oh, neshama is, you know, some distant cousin, some spiritual connection that I have that's gonna, you know, suffer from whatever I did in this world. No, it's not some distant cousin, some spiritual force. It's you, my feelings, my emotions, my awareness that I have right here, right now, talking to you, is that same awareness that's going to be continued in the world to come. Now, it's not going to have the same senses that it has right now, because right now it has physical senses, because it's connected to the body. But the same awareness is going to continue in the world to come.
Well, the thing is, the neshama is the electricity that keeps the body
right
able to do what they're doing, only if the body sustains itself by eating.
Right, for sure. Yeah, and you should have
neshama. A dead person can't eat anymore. You can stuff him, put him, you know, needles and like if when you're alive, needles help. Whatever it is, adapt it. So that's the, you know, I mean, the only thing of it is it's the electricity that enables a car to go like.
Right.
What makes a car go?
Gas.
No.
No.
The gas.
Wheels, I don't know. The motor. I don't know.
If you don't turn on the car, the gas don't help.
Right.
It's got to be turned on first.
If you don't have
right.
gas, it doesn't
help. The neshama is the starter. I mean, nothing is working inside until the neshama, God blew the neshama in his nostril, and then everything started working.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, So the Talmidim of Elisha couldn't fathom that the body went up to Shemayim as well. That's why they suggested to search for it. Now, just wait, by the way, side point, the number of Nevi'im over here is how much? 50.
Yeah.
Does that number sound familiar?
What's that?
Does that number of Nevi'im, 50?
Yeah.
Where, does that sound familiar?
Oh,
where's that from? Half a shekel.
Did the Baal had 50? Like,
no, the Baal had 400.
Oh, 400.
But it said that Avadia hid 50 Nevi'im. He had 100 Nevi'im total.
Oh, yeah, they say.
He did 50 Nevi'im in one cave, and he had 50 Nevi'im in a different cave. Right? So these are the same Nevi'im that were hidden. Now, it's interesting, he calls them Bnei Chayil. Bnei Chayil typically refers to men of valor. Men of valor is typically men who go out to war. Right? They have the strength and the courage to fight a war, not to be daunted by the enemy. So why does it describe Nevi'im, who are men of spirituality, as Bnei Chayil, men of valor? Right, it's a little bit different. Right, so the Radak points that out, and he says that Bnei Chayil over here means Bnei Koyach. That they were actually very strong people, and they had the ability to walk a large amount in a very short time.
In Hebrew, is there exactly reference for 50, or it's from...
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It says Chamishim, 50. It's the same number that Avadia hid in one cave.
Is it English and Russian? I don't see 50.
It doesn't say 50? It says 50 in Hebrew. It's Chamishim, which is 50. It
says he urged them until he was ashamed. What was he ashamed about?
What were you reading?
In English, there are 50. In Russian, there are no 50.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's next pasuk. Yeah, okay, we'll get there.
Yeah.
40 men.
Bosh means the same, according to...
So, well, okay. Okay, let's see. Let's see next pasuk.
What was he ashamed about?
Hold on, let's see.
Okay.
The Radak...
We completed 15.
Sorry?
We finished pasuk 15, or not?
We finished pasuk 16.
Ah, so,
now we're up to 17.
What does it mean 15? This is kind of... Neshama from Eliyahu went to Elisha.
Meaning the ability of Nevuah went from Eliyahu to Elisha. Remember, that's what Elisha was asking for. When Elisha came over to Eliyahu, the reason why he stuck with Eliyahu was because he wanted to get the ability of Nevuah from Eliyahu. He wanted it to transfer to him. That's what he's asking for. That's what he stuck with Eliyahu all the way till the end.
Now belongs to his neshama, belongs to Elisha.
No, it doesn't mean his neshama.
But
right?
This is spirit.
Yeah, it doesn't mean neshama.
Okay.
It means the ability of prophecy.
It means his prophecy was higher than what before.
Yes, yes. Because he got the prophecy ability from Eliyahu, he was transferred to him, to Elisha. Okay. So let's see the next pasuk. Pasuk Yitzayin, 17. Vayivtzeru voy ad boish. So the Talmid, the Bnei Anavim, go ahead and they try to convince Elisha to go and search for Eliyahu. Vayomer shlachu, and says, okay, fine. You can go ahead and send him. Vayishlachu anu 50 anashim, vayivakshu 30 yamim, v'lo yimatzeu. So they send all 50 go out at the search party. They look for 3 days and they couldn't find him. So what does it mean ad boish? Right. So what does he translate in English? Until he was embarrassed.
He was ashamed.
He was ashamed. Yeah. So the Radak explained ad boish to mean ad asher boishesh.
Yeah.
You know what boishesh means?
No.
Where else do we find the word boishesh?
Boishesh.
No, boishesh. The word boishesh.
Like you get, I don't know how to say the word. You say something to somebody, and it's not a good thing, and the guy gets like, there's a word for it, for boishesh. It's like a shame, but it's worse than ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
It makes like.
Like
you're nothing. What you mm-hmm. did is so bad that he's really ashamed. I mean, you know, it's stronger than being ashamed. But what? I mean, why did he feel that way?
So the Ralbag says that it's a little bit more like ashamed. He says that it wasn't exactly ashamed, but. He felt bad to tell them, to keep on telling them no. Right? They were so determined, they kept saying again and again and again, and tried to convince him.
Let's go.
So he says, and he realized they were so determined, so he was embarrassed, it wasn't, not exactly embarrassed, but he felt bad.
He felt
badly.
That's the word.
Embarrassed?
If you're doing something, and it's not anything else, and you shouldn't be doing it for your stature. And if somebody points it out to you, you get embarrassed. That's the worst thing. You're not supposed to embarrass somebody. Because it's like you kill them.
Right.
That's the halacha.
Yeah, but this is not
Why would he feel that way?
No, he's not really embarrassed. He says that he didn't want to keep on pushing them off. So... what's the right word? But he was I can't think of the right word. Saying the Ralbag uses the word boishes, which literally means embarrassed, right? For example, when you hit someone, right? One of the things you have to pay them for five things: nezek, the damage; tsar, the pain you cause them; ripui, the medical bill; sheves, the days he lost for work; and boishes, that's the last thing, the embarrassment that he suffered from you hitting him in the middle of the street. Right, so that's embarrassment. So the Ralbag uses the same word, but he says shayli boishes milachlik tomi del livreim. He was embarrassed to keep on telling them no. He was embarrassed to keep on differing with them.
But
he didn't want to.
If he's right, why should he be embarrassed?
Right. He is right.
There has to be something there more than that.
Not exactly pity, no.
Yeah,
I mean, embarrassed is a strong word. I mean, why would he? I don't understand. Well, what is he embarrassed about?
Yeah, you're right. It's not really embarrassed. It's just he kind of was. He was tired of saying no, of deferring with them. But when you go ahead and defer with someone, right, until they put you in a position where you can't say no, like you feel the shame to say no, right? Because they stick you in a corner and say, oh, you have to do this, you have to do this, right? You feel like, okay, like, well, what am I going to say? I'm going to say no again. Like, I don't know, what am I going to say? I don't know what to say. Right? That kind of situation. However, so even when he said yes, says the Ralbag, he said it in a way where they should understand that it's really the wrong thing to do. They shouldn't be doing it. Because says the Ralbag, there are many times where a person says no and he really means yes. And a person says yes, it really means no. For example, if you know a husband wants to go and play basketball with his friends, right? But you know his wife needs his help at home, putting the kids to bed, whatever it is. And she's like, no, please, I need your help. Please don't go with your friends. And he's like, no, I really want to go. It's been a while. I really need it. All right. And he keeps on badgering her and telling her, listen, I need this. This is really important to me. I really need you, right? I really need to go out and get some air and play with my best friends. And finally she says, okay, fine, go, right? So he says, oh, great, she gave me permission. Perfect, right? I'm free to go.
When a woman says, fine, things are not
fine. Things are not fine.
Exactly.
It was a forced reply.
Right, so sometimes you have to read in between the lines. No, what did she really mean? Did she really mean that it's fine with her and she doesn't mind, she doesn't care if you go? No, she didn't really mean that. So Elisha was in the same position over here, right? The Nevi'im kept on badgering him and telling him, oh, we want to go look for his body. He's like, okay, fine, go look for his body, right? But he didn't really mean, he said it in a way where they should understand on their own that it's the wrong thing to do and they shouldn't be doing this. Right? Let's see, Vayter, Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayeshuv Eilav Yosha B'Yerichai. So they go out, they look, they send out a search party. They go look for the body of Elio, and he's, you know, they come back, they couldn't find him, and he's sitting in Yericho. Excuse me. V'yomer aleihem, Eliyamarti aleichem al taleichu. And so they come back to him, and they, you know, they've got bad news, like, okay, you know, we looked for him, we couldn't find him.
Well, right. It doesn't say they told him we couldn't find him.
Right, but from the fact they came back empty-handed.
But he asked, didn't I tell you not to go?
Yeah. Right.
But that reply should be to a question that they said, oh, we didn't find you, you were right. Then you say, didn't I tell you not to go?
Right.
They came back.
They didn't.
And they didn't say anything.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he says to them, I told him not to go.
Yeah, I told you so.
They didn't complain I didn't find them. Not on the bus.
Right. Yeah, so he tells them, I told you so, right? The sweetest words a man could say, or a woman.
Well, you say that to a person that comes back and says you were right. Well, didn't I tell you? But they didn't say it, you were right or anything. They just came back.
They didn't have to say it. It was obvious when they came back empty-handed.
You don't have to say?
Of course. He came back empty-handed, you know, so it was obvious. Whether they said it or
why
not.
Why does he have to reply,
did I tell you not to go? Don't touch it, comes back looking bad. He's like,
I told you not to go.
Yeah, it's obvious.
They didn't say you were right. You have to make a reply first before somebody else will tell you, I told you not to go. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Let's see, Vayter. Pasuk Yud Ches, 19. Vayomer Achi Eir El Elisha. So the people of the city of Yericho go over to Elisha and they say, listen, Elisha, this city is very good. However, we got a problem. We got a water issue. Right? The water here is really bad. The Oretz Meshakeles. meaning that the land itself is good. The only reason the land is giving out bad fruit is only because of the water. But if not for the water, the land would be very good. Now, it's interesting though, the Ralbag says, why is it that people are living in Yerichai? Yeshua already gave a klala to anyone who builds up Yerichai, right? Mm-hmm. That he will be punished. So why are people living there? So he says like this. He says that, in fact, true. Yehoshua gave a klala, he gave a curse to anyone who would build a city. And in fact, the person who built the city ended up burying all of his sons. Right? All of his sons died. When he started building the city, his oldest son died. When he finished building the city, his youngest son died. However, says Ralbag, that he only cursed the person who builds it. But once it was built, there's no issue living there. You're allowed to live there. That's not the problem. Why? What's the proof? Because the fact that the Nevi'im were actually living there, that's the biggest proof that you were allowed to. If you're not allowed to, why? What are they doing there? So they go over to him. They say, "Listen, the land is very good, right? So the only reason that the land is it's bringing out bad fruit is because of the water. It can't be the air. The air is perfect here. It must be the water. So we need your help, Elisha. You now have the ability of Eliyahu Navi. Let's test your powers. Let's see what you can do, what you're capable of." Pasikhov, Vayomer Khuli Tsloichis Chadasha. Go ahead and fetch for me a brand new bowl. Jug.
He calls it a jug.
A jug? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, a big pitcher is called a jug.
Okay. A jug, some kind of utensil. Vesimusham Melach Veichoilov. He said, fill it up with salt and bring it over to me. What's going to happen next? We're in suspense. Vayetzel moitzah ha'mayim, vayashlach sham melach. So he goes to the source of the water, where the water comes out of, and he puts salt in there, he throws salt in there. Vayomer, koyamar Hashem, yipesi l'mayim ha'elu l'yim, misham oid maves, u'meshakoles. And now, he says, don't worry, I put the salt in there, everything is good. Now you can go home, the water will be as good as new. So now it's interesting. What he's doing over here is he's using a substance that is supposed to ruin the water. If you throw salt in the water, it's going to ruin it. Yeah. Right? The water is going to go bad.
Now you can have soft, hard water and throw salt in it and it makes it sweet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that scientifically proven?
It's that's what they do. People have hard water. Hard water, you can't. You take soap and it doesn't. You can't lather it up.
Mm-hmm.
So they use salts. Certain, you know,
to soften it.
To soften it.
But it's not drinkable.
Then it's drinkable.
Really? You add salt to the water and it's drinkable?
It's, there's a way to do it. I don't know. I'll take a look in the book.
Like it depends salt, how much
like
you put in.
Put
a lot of salt in it, won't be drinkable.
The water is alkaline, and you want to make it, you know, drinkable. And you know, you can use it for washing. And
interesting.
But this is
river. Well, why do you do? That's why they do it. They learned it from here.
Right? Oh yeah, there you go.
they learned it from here. They put the salt in there to make it drinkable.
Okay.
How do they know how to do it? How do you know how to do anything?
You try and you find out.
Somebody beforehand did it and you follow it. Or you discovered that this is the way to do it.
Okay.
They did it.
Okay,
that's it.
Let's go.
All right, we'll stop it. Okay, we have to stop
one more pasuk.
We have to stop here. It's time for Marv. Well, there's a little bit more to talk about in this pasuk.
Really?
The Malbim points out a few
things. I'll find out what kind of salt it is.
Yeah, yeah. Come next week. Tell me what
they sell. You know what?